on digital radio, on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sportscast.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk with Victor Orocho and Byron Jones. And here's your host, Victor Orocho.
Live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Lancaster, Pennsylvania, welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, brought to you by The Sportscast. Today is October 23rd, 2025. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to Sportscast on all our channels, YouTube, X, Spotify, iTunes, and you can hear us on your favorite streaming channel for podcasts. Please subscribe to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk podcast. Please leave us a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. If you like our show right now, just smash the like button and you'll be able to hear all our shows, all our past shows, and you'll get notified when we're live. We always welcome guests on our shows. We welcome comments. So let's get it on. We got a lot of stuff to talk about and some crazy stuff. And I'm fired up. We got a fan here coming today. So I think we're going to have some commonality, even though we're foes. We're going to have some commonality. So I'm getting excited. Mr. Byron, how you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful in the frigid Northeast.
When you say frigid, how frigid is it?
44 degrees.
44 degrees. It is a chilly 70 something here. Let's see what we got in Fort Lauderdale.
Thanks for
it. No, it's not chilly. It's like 78. Our low will be 75.
Oh, nice. Yeah, just rub it in.
Baby. There you go. It's hot. It's beautiful, but it's nice here. Send this. All right. Well, anyhow, let's bring to the show a fellow fan and a guest host today, live from Florida as well. We got Big Boy Brett, and don't get nervous about his rug behind him. Let's bring him to the show. Big Boy Brett, welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk.
Pleasure, gentlemen.
He's got the star behind him. We gonna have some interesting stuff to talk about. All right, let's get it on.
We got
a Dallas fan. Hey, listen to me. Let me tell you, I gotta give Big Boy credit. There ain't too many Dallas fans that are brave enough to come on this show. We've had all kind of fans, but not too many. We have Mark. Mark never comes back. All right.
Only the real ones, my friend.
That's right. Look, man, you got NFC East, regardless of which team, is still the best in football. All right. So let's get the top headlines we're going to go to right now. Let's get to this one because I'm going to go off. Broncos stunned Giants 33-22. Last second field goal. The Broncos scored 33 points in the fourth. Can't be 33. They scored 19, not 30. That can't be right. It was 19 points.
So they scored 33. They scored 33. They were down by 19. They scored, and with the touchdowns that the Giants scored, they ended up scoring all 33 of their points in the fourth quarter.
Okay, 32 points in one quarter. I didn't know it was before. Oh, that's disgusting. All right, let's get up. First of all, Dable got a gobble. He can't coach him. Dable got to go. He's got to go. Got rid of the kicker. Great. They got Gano back, too. He's terrible, too. He's got to go. 19 points, fourth quarter. You're up. Run the ball. The clock is on your side. You have 2 seconds, right? We lost in 2 seconds here to field goal. All right? Here I am. Just going to give you my breakdown, and I'll hear from you guys. Byron, here's what happened. We're up by 19, right? I was impressed. Against a great defense, Byron. You picked the Broncos, which that giant. You may have picked them, but you got lucky. You guys, dumbass coach. Okay, excuse my language. Bad coach. 19 points, 2 seconds left. They kicked the field goal. I'm going to tell you where those 2 seconds should have been gone. Okay, we're up by 19. It's third down. Run the ball. You run the ball, it eats up more than 2 seconds. Point one. Point two, you punt the ball because you didn't get the first down. You punt the ball, they got to come down 80 to 70 yards. Just assume they get it on the 30, right? without a run back, block, punt, whatever. Let's just assume normal football. Okay, right there is going to eat up more than 2 seconds. I'm just giving you where 2 seconds could have been eaten up that would have been impossible for them to be able to hit that piece. Okay, then you get the, if to say they come down and score, you get the ball back, you run, maybe an out pass, whatever you do, you keep the ball inside. There's 50 million things that should have eaten up enough time that 19 points would have been, was they could have gotten so close, but they should have not won that game. That was coaching. That is the you cannot switch to the offensive coordinator in this one. That is the coach's head coaching job. Like you, Byron, call him the CEO. You override the call, run the ball. The clock is on your side. Beat the clock. Boom, I'm done. Fire Dable, gotta go. Byron.
How is it that we're the only team in the, probably the history of sports, I'm going to go that far, that we can't kick the ball? We got a guy, the kicker that we had, we got from Rutgers. He didn't even start at Rutgers. You know, he's part of the whole international program. That's what, you know, the kid was part of. You know, thank, you know, I'm glad he's gone, whatever. But this loss ranks up there with the Herman Edwards fumble, you know, picked the fumble up, ran it in with 76.
The time that's that a big play.
Yeah. Deshaun Johnson. Jackson on the punt when Coughlin told the punter to kick the ball out of bounds and he kicked it to him. Next you know, he running down the field and scored the winning touchdown. You know, this is number three as far as just being a miserable, miserable Giants fan. I also knew when Dart went to throw the ball, and I'm sitting there watching this, and it's like, why is he throwing about it? Like, I was like, no! And he threw the interception.
Like right the towel commercial, right?
Without a doubt. He throws the interception. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking that. And then when we had Deontay Banks, when a safety and a corner got hurt during the course of the game. So they had to put Banks out there. And I knew when Banks chumps that field, we were done. Just done. So I'm going to predict now, if he has to start this week against the Eagles, we're done. We're finished. Stick a fork in it. I'm done.
So who are you blaming for this loss is my question. Because you know where I went to right off the bat. Who you blame for the loss? Because I ain't blaming Dart. Dart's a rookie.
The defensive coordinator. Why was he playing prevent defense when he had three guys?
We'll get into that. There's no doubt. I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you bring the defensive coordinator. Okay. Good. Let's get give Big Boy Brett a shot because you know I'm sure he's enjoying it. But either case, you got to give me the legit piece. All right.
All right. Dable is the weakest link of the team. The 53 you lined up had been the negative aspect of your entire team for the past 10 years, other than Saquon. You haven't put anything on the field. Okay. And that's not the case now. Jackson Dart is, which is a Dable, he is by far the weakest link. You have somebody that brings in energy with the team, him and Scatabu. Okay, we talk about a culture of winning. You've had a culture of winning in the past with Belichick as your defensive coordinator, with the tuna, with that culture that you bring that starts with what? That energy, that spark, that contagious. So as negative as you want to be, because you're right, you could compare McCarthy quite a bit, like every way down the thing. I know you're going to
get into that next. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's the weakest link of the team. His game management, his again, look, Dart still screwed up. Like, Dart is the man. I love everything he brings to the game, but he threw like a Baker Mayfield interception out of nowhere, like right to the dude. And that spurred on, you know, part of that 33 points. So don't get me wrong. Like, he is to some accountability, but I don't care. You're playing the number one defense in the NFL. The Denver Broncos have more sacks, have the best back seven in the entire game. And then you throw the front four has more sacks than anybody else. Where are they weak? They are not. Between Surtain to Ocho to every guy that they have on that defense, it is the number one defense in the NFL. And I'm looking at a positive aspect. If you have no Malik Nabers and Jackson Dart is able to make Robinson look like he's the man and have nobody to throw the ball to, but this badass little back behind me who just wants to hit somebody's head somewhere. I want to bang heads, just how I love to play football, bang heads as much as possible. And with him and Dart, I'm excited for you guys. When you have Malik back, forget Gabe. He will be gone. You're 1,000,000% correct. He should be held accountable every step of the way for what happened in that game. You don't give up 33 points in the fourth quarter. You don't. Again, the defensive coordinator, that accountability as well. But Brian Gable's got – I agree 1,000,000%.
So let me give them – for our listeners and our fans, why I brought up McCarthy, right? One, I was going to bring up anyway, but because I got a Dallas fan. There were times that the clock management that McCarthy did – and they wanted to blame Dak, was terrible. You let seconds go, 30-something seconds go by. You couldn't even drop – you couldn't even spike the ball. I mean, I'm watching the game, and, you know, I don't like Dallas, but I want good football. I mean, what are you doing? You know, you can say all the things that – you know, and so I'm just equating Dable to the same thing. Now, look, that's where I'm coming with Mike McCarthy. You saw during his tenure over there, he may have won at Green Bay – but something was wrong with him at Dallas, because his ability to manage the clock, to do all the things, to put you guys in a position to win, and poor Dak. You know, Dak, every time Dak starts, you guys like 12 and something. You win 12 wins when Dak starts, you know. Something happens in the playoffs, but outside of that, it's no different than Lamar Jackson. That's the only the relationship I was putting there was hey, look, I'm going to shoot at my coach the same way I was shooting at the Dallas coach, right? I ain't messing around. Right. So now that's one. Two, look, I'm going to get to the defensive side, Byron, because I agree with you. Right. Why are we rushing through you? Byron, I can't believe you said that. I was just talking to Santiago. I was driving back home and said, dude, what are you playing prevent defense for? You're up by 19. You ain't got to play scared. We're rushing. We got four good rushers. Rush the four. We were rushing three guys, dropping eight. What are we doing dropping eight?
Two of them.
Against a Sean Payton team? Sean Payton's an offensive coach. I'm sorry, guy, Byron.
Two of them weren't even on the field. Abdul Carter and Lawrence were not on the field when they were doing that. Neither one of them were out there.
Those are our two best players. Burns has been getting to the quarterback all day. Listen to me. The Giants offensively put it on the Broncos. We lit them up. There was no reason we should have won the game on offense. Defense, yes, you can't let them do that. There's no doubt. We'll get into that. Prevent defense at 19 points? Ain't no prevent defense against a team that's better than you. Against you have an opportunity that you should have beat the Saints. You would have beat them. Right now, you would have been in the run for the division the way you predicted them earlier in the season. Your prediction would have turned all the way around. Right? How you only rushing three people? Burns has been hot all season. Right? You put Burns on there. We talked about it last week. Abdul Carter, he's putting pressure. How Burns is getting through. Lawrence is making plays. Let your players play. But from a defensive side. But on offensive side, just eat up the damn clock. Scottaboo is like everything that Big Boy Brett had said. I'm going to hide this banner. It's exciting me. Those two players, they're born for New York. Like, they got the attitude. They got they're making energy. Everybody's playing. These receivers are coming off the practice squad and making catches. Okay? And I'm kind of glad Malik Nabers, I don't want him to be hurt because he's got bad injury. But, man, if he can get this team going, and then you bring Malik Nabers back where he's not, hey, give me the ball, and you're finding extra receivers, man, now we got something going on. But for me, that was an offensive disaster of not – the clock was – on your side, eat it up. That's all you had to do. The defense could have gave up. You were up by three scores. Let the defense give up two, but win by one. That's my side on the offensive side. Then, Byron, I'll let you go, because then we go about defense, because I agree with you. Like, prevent defense at that for a whole quarter? Come on. Go ahead, Byron.
That was the biggest issue, you know, I had. You know, that was the biggest issue I had, you know, in the second half, that they went through, you know, the three down linemen, you know, eight, you know, back. And it was like, I'm looking at it, I was like, nah, there's no way they could be doing that. And it was crazy. And then when they put, again, I'm a beat up on this guy. When they put Banks out there, you know, because the other ones got hurt, next year I was like, they were done. They were done because he's a number one pick. for this guy to be a number one. He's terrible. The other, corner that took his job, Flott, is a third round pick, and this guy's been balling out. He's not bad at all. But for some reason, Banks was involved in the two biggest plays, like the one over the middle, when Mims caught the ball in the middle with a 28-yard pass. That he was right there, and then the touchdown when it got tipped, Banks was standing there for that one. And it's just like, this guy's like slept rock, man. He's just bad luck, man. Like bad juju.
Go ahead, Big Bird Brandon. I was talking about, like, for me, the narrative I'm trying to get and get the opinion was really, yeah, I am, I hear what you're saying, blaming Dart. Let me just put up the number here. Jackson Dart throws for 283 yards, 3 TDs, and one interception. That one interception.
Total.
Right? 3 TDs, one interception, right? Okay? That interception, I don't blame him for that. Okay, I just don't.
He threw it right to him.
I don't care.
Why not? Literally right.
I don't care. That's I'm just telling you my opinion. I'm not blaming for that. Him. Okay, you do what you want. I'm not blaming him for that because that play should not have been called. He should not have been put in that position. You should have ran the ball. So you're putting a rookie quarterback.
I agree.
Okay, who's now has all this ego in his head. He's all excited. He's got some bravado. He's right. He's a Baker Mayfield. We don't know yet because Baker does some crazy stuff, right? But he's got all this thing in his head. He's still a rookie. Your job is to protect that rookie on making smart plays by making smart, calling the play accordingly. They're running the offense that fits Dart. So if you're running the offense that fits Dart, call the damn plays that puts him in a position to win. You should have ran the ball. You should have put him in a position to have to make that decision. You're right. Bad throw, bad everything. But coaches are supposed to put you in a position to win. You know that, Byron, you were a coach. You're supposed to be putting your players in a position to win. Well, throwing the ball when you're up by 19, okay, and you're in the fourth quarter, even if it wasn't intercepted, it doesn't help you. Okay? Ball, there's no time off the clock.
Is Gable the play caller on the team? Is there an offensive coordinator? No. Or is Gable he the play caller?
He's the offensive quarterback, but he's the quarterback whisperer. He whispers bad stuff on his thing.
No, because you're right, man. The fact that he put his rookie quarterback, who's been, don't get me wrong, you said 3 touchdowns. He also had a rushing touchdown. He had 4 total touchdowns. I mean, the kid is the star. He's going to be the stir. What it was, Daryl Strawberry, the straw that stirs the drink, man. And that's what Jackson Dart brings to the table. I agree. From the philosophy of when you have a 19-point lead, which might only been like 16 at that point or something, you run the ball on 3rd and 4, the actual play that he actually, even if you, again, from Jackson Dart, now you know, okay, you know what? I either run for 3 or throw the ball away or, just do something. And that's his learning curve. But you're right. When you're looking at the offensive philosophy, if he's putting his rookie quarterback in positions that he can make a rookie mistake, that is what you're supposed to be curbing at all times. That learning curve is what you're supposed to be doing as the quarterback whisperer, as any offensive coordinator, as any head coach of a team would do. You're setting the tone for how you're going to play that game. And at that point, you're right. You easily could have shifted to Scataboo because, Santiago was talking about, he reminds me of Mike Alstott. No way. The kid could get around the end. Mike Alstott was the beast of all beasts, but he couldn't get around the end. Scataboo's got a little bit of speed on him. If you saw what he did at Arizona State, this kid can ball. So I agree that at that point, I downshift. I start looking at we've had a successful running game. We need to keep their offense off the field because their running backs combined for over 200 yards in total scrimmage yards. DK Dobbins ran for over 100. My boy UCF, I went to Central Florida. RJ Harvey, 98 total scrimmage yards. So this has to be looked at as well. Like we're talking about that defense coordinator, but again, he is the weakest link. Who do you bring in though? You're so eager to get rid of him, which I'm with you, my man. I believe in the mentality of where you're going, but who do you want? Who do you bring in?
Well, let's let Byron, I'm going to tell you next, but let Byron answer why why do you disagree with me not blaming Dart?
He played in the SEC. He played a lot of football games in Mississippi. He did where he went to school.
Oh, man.
He had Lane Kiffin, was his head coach, down there. Dable is his head coach now. You don't think that they put it in his head, like, hey, if that's not wide open, don't throw the ball. I don't know what he saw, as far as, what I could see is the tight end was coming across, the guy was trailing behind him, and he should have known better. Like, if it's not wide open, you got to eat that one.
Okay.
You're still going to run, the clock off, if he gets sacked or, if he gains a couple yards, run the ball, but he's got to eat that. He's played enough football. He knows better than that. He knew he shouldn't have thrown the ball. No matter what the coach, if he's not wide open, and I would do it as a coach too. If he's not wide open, take off or just eat that one and lift another play. And that's it.
Beautiful. I got you. Don't do it. It's super simple. Don't do it. One, don't do it. Number two, I don't give a shit if he's open or not. Don't throw it to the middle of the field.
Don't do it.
You're playing against the number one defense. The number one defense. Do you think that they're going to go all game without making a play? The odds are against you. You got a rookie quarterback playing against the number one defense. We were worried about him when he went against the Chargers, Byron. When we started against the Chargers, they were worried about that. And now you're going to dog the boy for throwing a bad pass against the number one team? No. It's your choice. But I think you're wrong. I just think you're absolutely wrong. That you should not throw the ball in the middle of the field. If you wanted to throw it one.
It was outside the hash.
Hey, I don't give a shit. In the middle, it was inside the hash. No, he caught it inside the hash in the middle of the field. Throw it to the out. Play a safe call. You should have not even thrown a pass like that. You should have done a swing pass. Number one, you should have ran it. Let's not confuse it. Do you agree we should have ran the ball? Because you just said when you were throwing it, you were like, oh my God, you can't have an oh my God moment and go, oh shit, I see he threw an interception.
It wasn't oh my God. It was no, that's what I did. I was like, no, when you saw it coming. That's what I did.
The fact that you said no, that's what Dable should have did when the call was called in. Dable should have overrode the call and said, run the ball, give it a scoutable. That's it. Period. Just run the clock, run the ball, that's it. We're gonna punt. Play for the punt on that side. Now you're playing chess. That's the reason why I'm not blaming the kid. He had 4 TDs. The mistake you made against the number one defense, I'll take that all day. 4 touchdowns, 1 interception on a play that shouldn't have been called against the number one defense. Okay, I'm done. Dable got to go. Fire his kicker. Fire him. Now we're bringing Gano back. He's terrible too. We lost because of that. Fire him, right? Get rid of Dable. I don't like Shane. They got to go. And now, to answer your question, Brett, is who would I play? I want a defensive coach. That's what I want. I want a defensive coach with an offensive coordinator that knows just plays offense and does it with the skills players we have today. I want a defensive-minded coach because that's how we've won games, right? Dallas has always won, has had good defenses, but you've always had potent offense, right? That's your identity of your game is offense. Right? That's one of the problems I think that we have. Byron and I talk about this all the time. The Ravens, they change their identity from a defensive team to an offensive team. It ain't working. Right? I want a defensive coach. That's what I want. We won with quarterbacks who aren't as good as Dart and with these players. You know what I mean? They got attitude. I don't know who I would replace him with, but I'd replace him with a defensive-minded coach. That way he could focus on that. Get our greatness of defense and let the offense take care of the game and just do enough to win the game. It's not like all the Super Bowls we won. It's not like we crushed teams, right? We had a lot of wide rights. We had helmet catches. We had whatever it had. We won the game, right?
Bruce Smith went out to Hostetler's hand with Hostetler's money, not fumbling the ball. Exactly. Come on, man.
You want two different quarterbacks. Exactly.
I wanted Quinn. Listen to me. You talk about a defense. I'm with you, brother. I think they should have fired McCarthy that next year. And Dan Quinn, the head coach, the defense was playing literally off the charts. You implement that Dan Quinn, and now everybody, that's the thing. You got to buy in, man. And the players got to buy in. And that's why Jackson Dart and Scott Edwards are so impressive to me, is because that's contagious. That whole team's going to be buying into that attitude, buddy, and that's how you really start improving. So I agree that I think you bring in a defensive-minded coach. I would have loved to not lose Clint Quinn. I'm glad we beat him in Washington this last week, but I wanted him as our head coach. Like you said, off the stupid, stupid penalties, pre-snap penalties, post-snap penalties, non-awareness of game time, non-awareness of position on the field and relevance to game time, everything you're looking for when you're talking about your head coach, it was a nightmare to me because it seemed like I was the only one seeing these things. Dak ran up the middle. Yeah, you know what? He should have went down a second earlier, but that, if that's the position you're put in to try to win, you know, to go to your first NFC championship and I don't know how many years since, you know, when I was in college, please. I mean, so I love the fact with how many defensive gurus are out there. That's the problem with losing Gable.
Look
with
at the teams that are winning. Dan Quinn, Campbell. I mean, their defense. Now you have the few that got, you got the Shanahans, you got O'Donnell. I mean, they're designed, you know what I mean? That's what they're really, really great at, right? And then you have, you know, you have guys like Spags. He was a terrible head coach. He's phenomenal as a defensive.
Yes, I know.
Okay, your boy Wade Cook, right? Wade Phillips was a great defensive coordinator, right? He would go anywhere. They would be the best defense thing. He was a terrible. He was a terrible head coach. Ryan was a great defensive coordinator. Terrible head coach. You know, sometimes you can't get to that level, but you know. We need a defensive coach. You had a defensive coach, they wouldn't have been playing prevent defense up by 19. They would have attacked, right? They would have attacked, right? They're not playing scared. They were playing scared. That's a coach playing for his job.
Yeah, but no. This is the problem. The problem is Shane, the GM.
I don't like him. He got to go too. Shane needs a cane up his the door.
I think Dable is fine that, you know, he might survive. But Shane is the one that is the shot. Shane is a shot caller. He has a top 10 pick, Evan Neal, that hasn't touched the field the whole season. That he drafted the seventh player pick. Tay Banks, cornerback, stinks. You know, he as far as not getting a kicker when they needed a kicker. You know, they keep playing this. Kick this week. We brought in Koo, the guy from Atlanta. You know, we got this other kid. Yeah, and he's the shot caller as far as supplying what the Giants need, and he's not doing a good job of it at all.
Yeah. I'm just looking. It's weird. I'm excited to watch him now, but I am nervous of the game. I have no idea which way is going to go. I just don't. That's terrible. At least I'm still more positive than negative, but I'm sorry. I think that was a devastating. That was a talk of everybody. Giving up that many points in the fourth quarter, being up by 19, not having clock management. That's coach. That's the head coach. You got to go, bro. You know, we found our players. Find their coach now. Find the coach that can take that attitude and go. I would go for a defensive coach. Like you said, you didn't want Dan Quinn to go. And now look at your Dallas defense. Now let's get to Dallas a little bit. All right. Hey, you guys are 3-3, right? Hey, you got a shot.
3-3-1.
You're 3-3-1, right? The Commanders are 3-4, and the Eagles are what, 4-2, and they're not looking like a good set of Eagles. We'll get to them in a little bit because they're having problems again. You know, there's stuff going on. And like I said, you know, for me, I'm going with the numbers, right? No one's won the division twice in 20 something years. So I'm not. I didn't pick Philly. I picked Washington, but I didn't pick Philly. Byron picked Giants. And Byron, let me tell you something. Those two games made the difference. We would have been in the hunt right now because I don't think anyone's expecting Philadelphia to be breaking down. And we didn't expect to be Washington breaking down. And Dallas, you guys should have won against the Eagles.
You see, and against Green Bay.
See, well, Green Bay, yes, but the Eagles, particularly, man, you're not going to see CeeDee Lamb drop three balls. And let me tell you something. Yes. Pickens is balling.
One of them died. One of them in his bread basket. One of
them were in his hands. Dak did his job, and he normally doesn't miss those, and he took the blame on that. But let me tell you, Pickens is balling. I mean, we may say whatever we said about him in Pittsburgh. That was the problem with Pittsburgh. Same thing they got now. They only got one receiver, right? And then when
they had nobody getting the ball, Look what Pickens is doing.
There, Pickens is balling out.
Listen, I'll tell you this: Dallas is one of the three teams in the NFL that has two number one receivers. Okay, you have a one and a 1A. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens is a two number ones. Paco Nacua, who happens to be hurt up right now, and Devontae Adams are two number ones.
You got AJ Brown
and Devontae, but I don't hold Devontae.
No, Devontae. Well, who's the other guy? Byron.
AJ Brown and those are the three teams Devontae that have two Adams, number one receivers. Yeah, Devontae Adams what's that?
And
Chase and Higgins. I will agree. Going into this year, that was a 1-1A. Obviously, Jamar Chase is with CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson, probably the three best receivers in the world. But that is probably number four. You are correct. You guys are staying corrected. But nobody else. I mean, obviously, Rice and Xavier Worthy are too young to be tested. We'll see. But that 1-2 punch to be able to now have CeeDee Lamb make these plays. Nobody is a 50-50 ball better guy than Carl Pickens or George Pickens. I'm talking about his father. Carl Pickens, we're all of the know his father, but he is the 50-50 ball. You can throw it up, and you know that any of those 50-50 balls, he's going to come up with them way more, you know, catch it at the apex, and that's just taking the ball deep. Ferguson is having his best year. He actually has more receptions than any other tight end in the NFL right now. So Jake Ferguson's having an incredible year, and CeeDee Lamb was hurt and is coming back often. Every year that Dak is hurt, he comes back and has the best year of his career. He did it 4 years ago, then he did it 2 years ago after he came back from the season. He's going to do it again. He will be in the running. Mahomes is back, and people don't realize I have him in fantasy, so I know the numbers that he's putting up. But there's few quarterbacks that are going to do what Dak's going to do because he has three major weapons and an offensive line that's got a ton of number one picks. We love to pick the dude's name Tyler. Like, my entire offensive line is named Tyler. But we have what it takes to I'm baffled. Their defense leaks like a sieve. We're the worst defense in the NFL. But how do you play Philly toe-to-toe? And how do you play Green Bay toe-to-toe? That's right, two of the best five teams in the NFC. But then you go into Chicago and we make Caleb Williams look like a Pro Bowler.
Now you reminded me. You reminded me of Green Bay. Hold on a second. Okay, it was Micah that got Dak. Forced you to get a field goal instead of a touchdown.
Correct.
That play alone has to hurt a Dallas fan. Is that play prevented you from winning that game outright?
Micah Parsons hurts my heart. He just hurts my heart. He is one of those guys. If you see what he's doing in Green Bay, like he is that dude. He is that dude. I don't care. He looks even better at Green Bay than he did for Dallas. How Dallas doesn't get one more pick? You got your pick back, a number one, and one extra pick.
You didn't get enough for him. In my opinion, you didn't get enough for him. Number one.
100%.
Number two, I don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl while Jerry – you know, God may Jerry live to 190 years old. Whatever. I just don't think you're going to win while he's alive. I just don't. You know what I mean? So if you look at it, him getting rid of Micah, you know – your defense gets worse, someone else gets better, but you're not going to win the Super Bowl with him. And without him, you're definitely not going to win the Super Bowl unless you change something else. Or you just get out of the way and let the coach coach. You know what I mean? Because you're going to put up off. You're going to put up points. When Dak is there, he averages 12 wins. When Dak is playing, he's not hurt. He's averaging 12 wins. He gets him there. He does what he's supposed to do, right? I think he's playing better now than he did before he got hurt. You must be right, because when he comes back from an injury, because before that he looked real apprehensive. He was throwing a lot more checkdowns than he was downfield.
Right.
But now you got
pickers. Scared to run. He was scared to run out of the pocket.
Yeah. Something was wrong. So I didn't see the right that. But I just, now I remember the Green Bay. I'm like, I remember that sack that he got him. That put you in a position of forcing a fourth down, and you had to kick a field goal. By kicking that field goal, that hurt you for your chances of losing the game. So Micah did his part of what he needed to do. I'm sure that hurt a lot of Dallas fans. But anyhow, all right. Well, let's you know, Dallas is coming up now. Who you got this week?
I don't even play
the Broncos. You play the Broncos.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking, oh my God, I was remembering they're gonna be pissed at the ass whooping you guys just put on their defense. So I don't think they can stop us. Like, we didn't talk about, like, one thing in Dallas that we haven't talked about is Javonte Williams, like number two overall in rushing, number two overall in rushing touchdowns. He is a monster, too. We knew as a rookie when he came out, he did some things that were special. He blew out that knee and was never given another chance in Denver. It's one of those places, new scenery, new home, you know, new vibe, new everything. And he fits perfectly with what we're trying to do. He allows Dak, I agree. I don't see any hesitancy in anything, whether he's making the deep pass. I think he needs to improve on his deep ball a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That's the one thing I think he did. But, I mean, when you're talking about throwing anything, the 20-yard out outside the hashes, the longest throw on the other hash of the route tree all day long, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, Brian, Byron, not to put salt in the wound, but this is Santiago, top NFL leaders for sacks: Giants, Burns, Chargers, Bruce, Brian Young, Broncos, Nick Bonito, Jonathan Cooper, and then Aiden Hutchins. Brian Burns being number one, and you're rushing 3 yards, you're rushing three men. I mean, what's going on? You know what I mean? What's going on? So
your front four is the best. Your front four. That's what's scary though. About that I would worry about on your guys' side.
It's the front four. Why are you rushing three when you're up by 19?
Correct.
Isn't that what you said, Byron? Why are you rushing three?
We have to bring this out too. Bonito, the guy that with Denver. Since we have Andrew Thomas back and the other Emeka Moore is playing pretty well, both tackle. He was 0-4 as far as sacks. He batted 0-0-0 against Andrew Thomas. So I guess Andrew Thomas is all the way back now as far as the elite left tackle.
Yeah, I think, and Dart's getting the ball out quicker. You know what I mean? They're just doing different things. They're worried about Scatterboo now. There's some fear. And look, Tracy's gonna start coming along, but anyhow, Russell Wilson labors former coach Sean Payton in classes after post game comments. I don't like. I'm not a big Payton fan because he did what he did to Russell, but we'll see. We'll see what's going on there. But man, the NFC East is look. It's coming. It's coming back. Things are going different. So we talk about Dallas. I think Jaden Daniels get hurt. I mean, the game on paper was pretty close. What hurt Washington the most was they gave up four sacks. They punted five times. They had 118 yards in penalties. They lost a fumble. They threw an interception. I mean, but outside of that, like total yards was, Dallas had a lot more total yards. I mean, it was just Washington looked bad.
I said some guys that I watch a lot of football with together, and some of them Philly fans. And I said that the Cowboys are going to show up today. No, I mean, show up. We're going to show you what Dallas Cowboy football looks like. And they really did. They came in. They stopped a defense against literally Chicago. I don't think they punted all day.
I literally don't think Chicago Bears, probably somebody can look it up, I don't think they had one punt all afternoon the night we played them. Philly in the first half had no punts until the rain came, and we could not stop anything. Now they switched over to a man-to-man, just starting to blitz, you know, a little bit more. But listen, I think that Washington is on their way down. I think you guys are going to supplant them as giving us a run as you tweak it, as you put some things together. You have some pieces. Obviously, without Neighbors, you're really not going anywhere. You're not going deep into the playoffs. You don't have that superstar playmaker that can make that play when you need him to a long distance. You know what I'm saying? Everything else, the line coming together. Running backs, you got Tracy coming back. I don't care about Tracy coming back. He's my number two now.
I like Scataboo, but I like the combinations, right? Yeah, I like Thunder and Lightning. Thunder and Lightning all day long. Byron's worried about Scataboo because he feels he's going to take too much punishment. That kid's been doing that all his life, right?
So, but if you
had Tracy in, right? So I'm saying you put Tracy as Lightning, you put Scataboo as Thunder. You know what I mean? You're just mixing them up, switching them up. They're different sizes. Right, you're tackling low, you're tackling lower. You know, there's a god of pieces there. The other thing I'm gonna add, by the way, I just wanted to mention that, you know, CeeDee Lamb had 110 yards and Pickens had like 90 something yards. I mean, those are two legitimate, you know, those are threats, right? You got a problem, you got to stop them. And then your other guy's running, you got some offensively, you guys are well, defensively, you got some work to do. You're gonna put some points up right now. Your defense has got to hold the other team. But the one thing I will tell you is that, Malik Nevers got a bad injury. And
he's gone for the year. He's gone.
Yeah, no, but hopefully he can make a comeback. But my point being is that, you know, sometimes I like when a Malik Nevers is kind of not in there when you got the new kids in there because they're getting a flavor. He's got more control, right? Now you bring Malik Nevers in, he's got a lot more respect for Jackson Dart. You know what I mean? And maybe that'll just take the team to a next level, right? But I like them seeing good. Let him get better. Because remember, he has his toe issue since he came out of college, right, Byron?
Well, the toe and the knee now.
Yeah, but because he keep running damn fly patterns instead of giving the ball something else. And then that field is terrible, right?
Well, supposedly
they're
fixing both his toe and he still hasn't had surgery on his knee yet, so they're waiting for, I guess, for the swelling or whatever to go down. That's been a while though.
Okay, Graham Gano set to return from injury after cutting. Didn't Gano miss a bunch of field goals too with extra points, Byron? You know I don't like Gano. Go back. go bring back Adam Vinatieri, who's like 50 something years old. I'll take him right now.
There's enough Latin American soccer players and enough British and European soccer players that every NFL team, like Aubrey, is like a weapon. He's a weapon for our team. He literally is a scoring or points weapon, no matter where we are, how we are in the game. Every team will be moving. It's a copycat league. We've already seen there's four or five other teams that have kickers the same way. You can't not only have a kicker that hurts you and misses bullshit. You need the dude that comes in and hits a 54-yarder.
We need your kicker.
And a game-winning 47-yarder.
Your kicker is awesome. You got to.
But that's every team. There's not. It's not only us. You can see it now. And he's like an Australian, rugby. That's what they're going to. They kick the ball more naturally. Stop worrying about it in college where there's enough. If you put it open, I find it very difficult to believe. If you have guys in the NFL and they're scouring places to find somebody to come in and kick the football for my damn team, I think I'd be doing a lot better job than just bringing Graham Gano back.
Points, man. Two of them. Come on, man. That's like a free throw.
On the McAfee show, they can kick better than.
Points. How do you miss two extra points? I mean, let's get out of there. Let's talk about what is happening, Byron, Philly. Jalen Hurts jump starts the Eagle by passing 326 yards, three TDs, and a 28-22 win over the Vikings. Yet they're having tons of, like, inside the locker issues. Byron, why do they have – constant like turmoil there. They're not giving Barkley the ball. And yet AJ Brown is complaining. They're winning and they're complaining. There's always a problem. That locker room has no control.
Yeah, but look what they lost, you know, as far as, you know, like leadership. You know, Kelsey retired, leadership guy.
Right.
You have Lane Johnson, the right tackle, you know, been there for, you know, 36, 30. So he's been for a long time. He's been hurt. He's not playing. On the defensive side, they had Fletcher Cox, you know, back in the day. They had him, you know, as far as that locker room guy. Now they got Brandon Graham. Is now he's coming back. You know,
coming back.
He sees that they don't have that swagger or whatever you want
to call it. Defensive end Brandon Graham coming out of retirement to play for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Is that a good move? You think it's a good move?
Oh, yeah. He's a badass defensive tackle who likes to bang heads. He's been away for a little while. Let it see if he can put it on the field. I love the fact he's coming back. I hate it because I hate Philly. You know what I'm saying? And I hope he does not do well. And I hope he...
I mean, you think a defensive player can come back? I mean, like that. I mean, you better be in shape. And
says, you know what, I'm retired. Yeah, I thought he'd been Cox forgotten.
Byron, I've been getting a couple calls about you coming to the Philly.
Picture that.
Yeah, what's up?
They've been calling me up and saying, hey, is Mr.
Good.
Jones?
I'm good.
Mr. Jones might come back. You know, he's 6'6", 300-something pounds there. He's a big boy.
I've been
fielding calls on you, Byron.
Byron
likes Coach's flag. I'm not sure if he wants to play football anymore.
As a football Byron, is football still good? Like, you still got the big play words? We'll bring you down.
Come on, my man. No, man, there's peptides right now. There's stem cell. We got you covered, bro.
Man, I don't care what they got, man. I sit there and tell them kids all the time with football, don't touch me. If you touch me, it's going to hurt for 3 weeks. Don't touch me.
I don't know, but look, the Eagles got issues, man. They just got issues.
They don't have that edge rusher. They don't have the guy. Like, they have no.
Yeah, but Byron, they've had locker room issues for the last several years that they've been good. The only time they haven't had any issues was last year, the first year Barkley came to the team.
What do we always talk about with Eric? What do we always say? You got to turn the switch. They got to turn the switch. The same thing is happening now. You got to turn the switch. Come on, man. You know, they're Super Bowl champions. They shouldn't be struggling, you know, the way they are. You know, they lost. They lost some parts, but, you know, they shouldn't be playing, you know, the way that they do, man. They're a lot better football team than that.
We say that for the last 3 years.
Yeah, like they're
better football player. You know who's turned the switch? Kansas City.
Yeah.
He's got his weapons back. Ain't turning the switch. You know. So we'll see. Well, what do you think about Philly? Let's keep going down here. What do you think about the Giants and Philly? I think Giants gonna take this one. I think they're ripe to take it a second time. Giants, they're playing good. How many points have they put up in the last couple games?
The only reason I'm not going to go all in as far as them beating the Eagles is that we're going to be missing the safety. You know, the starting safety is probably not going to play. And the starting corner that we paid all that money for is probably not going to play. So that means my man, Tay Banks, is going to be the other corner on the other side. And wherever he is, that's where the Eagles are going to throw the ball.
We put up 37 points, then 9, then 21, then only 14, then 34, then 32. I mean, we're putting up some points. So, you know, I was happy if we put up 20 points. We lose Big Brett. I guess Big Brett, we lost them. So I don't know. I'm gonna go with Giants till hats fall, but again, Dable for me, he's got to go, buddy. Well, unfortunately, you may be right, but it doesn't mean. All right, what do you got here? Vikings at Chargers tonight. What do you think? Those are teams I don't understand.
Well, the Vikings, because JJ McCarthy's not back yet, and they have Carson I'm gonna throw the ball all over the place. Wentz.
I'd go with Chargers. But the Chargers are disappointing right now.
Yeah, because their offensive line is all banged up. You know, the guys that, you know, you thought were gonna, you know, you're missing an all-pro, well, two all-pro tackles because both of them have been hurt, you know, since the beginning of the year. And the Vikings, are, you know, going back to them, you know, they do have Justin Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson. So they got plenty of weapons, you know, on the offensive line. And they have your favorite defensive coordinator, Brian Flores.
No, I like Brian Flores. Okay. Hey, but there's some breaking news though I want to put up here. A couple of things. Is do you hear about Billups Rozier arrested in gambling investigations? That's not good.
No, it's not good. You figure like
I like Chauncey Billups.
Yeah. And you figure dealing with the like the federal government, if you know when they bring charges, they usually stick like glue. You know, depending on what it is. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I just had to bring that up because that's top news. You know, you hate to hear that. You hate to hear that happening, but you know, I don't want to end it on that. But that's the deal there. Hey, you got to give Daniel Jones should be 7-0 right now.
Oh, you talking about my guy, Daniel Jones?
Danny Dimes, lighting it up there, boy.
No, it's Indiana Jones now. It's not.
Danny that's Dimes. Right, Indiana Jones.
It's Indiana Jones now.
Daniel Jones, Jones stats. All right, so he is, dude, he's got 106 passer rating. He's got 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's already thrown for almost 1,800 yards.
Huh. Go figure. Huh. I guess, was it coaching
he's,
or him?
He's got a 71%. Okay, it was coaching. But remember, Dable had him.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, right?
Yeah, I told you. I mean, he's going to ruin this kid too. He's got to go. He's got to go. So good. I'm happy for Daniel Jones. I think Barkley's getting a bad deal there, man. I don't understand why they're not giving Saquon the ball. I just don't. You know, he's a player that's going to break one, right? He could have 50 something yards of giving the ball. Look at this.
They haven't had the same offensive lineman. That plays a big part of it. Because you figure they got, let's see, Mulata, Dickerson, Juergens has been hurt. Dickerson's been hurt. Steen is the other tackle. I mean, the other guard. And Lane Johnson has been, you know, hurt a lot this year. So they're playing with, you know, backups, you know, probably the last 3 or 4 games. It's not the same line that they had, you know, last year where, you know, nobody got hurt. And then Becton, you know, the right guard, he left and went that, you know, took the money down there, I think, with the Chargers. But yeah, it's a completely, you know, kind of sort of a completely different offensive line, and they're hurt,
I guess. But I mean, I would give him the ball because, you know, he's always one play away from
when I watched him last week and at watching the line, it looked like the New York Giants line from when he was there with them. He was getting hit 2 or 3 yards in the backfield before he even had a chance to get a full head of steam. It just looked like what he did with the Giants, the same thing. And last year that didn't happen. You know, you weren't touching him until he got 3 or 4 yards downfield already. So it's definitely a difference on the offensive line for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just still think he's one of those backs that needs the ball. You know what I mean?
You gotta give him you need some holes to run through.
Yeah, I understand, but he's a guy that can break the ball. Anyway, it is what it is, but it's Philly. We'll see what's going on there. All right, Big Brett, thanks for joining our show. We lost you in between. All right, Mr. Jones. All right, well, thank you. Don't forget, every Thursday at 8 p.m., live, the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Please don't forget to subscribe to Sportscast on all our channels, YouTube, X, Twitter, Spotify. Please go and check out your favorite podcast streaming, Jersey Boys Sports Talk, 8 p.m. every day, Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Smash the like button if you hear what you said. Today was a fired up game. Thank you for Big Brett coming on the show. You know, Dable, gotta go. That's my last set of words. He got to go. Got to go. Can't lose 19-point games. Right now, we should be four and three, right? We're 2-5. So it's
something like that.
But we're fun. We're watching. These kids are good. I want to see more. 6-4-4, baby. 6-4-4. All right, Mr. Jones, you have a good night, and we will see you next week. Peace.